So, Hare Krishna, good morning, everyone. I admit at the beginning, when we enter kirtan like this, we may have to force ourselves to get out of our head and our normal perception. And in the beginning, it is kind of artificial. Also, some of us who are stiff and old and rigid in their minds will find it a challenge to all of a sudden dance jubilantly. How do I do this? Take those challenges in your life, because you may perhaps have noticed by now you have not reached your spiritual goal. You need to break free from conditioned things. Speaking psychologically, you may have to rewire yourself a little. Good. So today we will continue with this with the subject matter, the hidden secret of bhakti. I must say, before I start speaking on this, I want to say that when I came upon this point of approaching Krishna in a total different way than I have been doing most of the time in my 50 plus years, when I came in contact that, oh yes, there is a new way to approach Krishna. I felt challenged at first, but then when I studied it with the Hari Bhakti Vilas and the Bhajan Rahasya, a new world opened up for me. And because of this discovery, it was only I would say last year, now we are still in the old year, so at the beginning of this year, then I did not speak about it first, but I practiced. Then I saw there were different results in my spiritual life, but I still did not want to talk with you about it. I decided to go to Vrindavan and practice there my new discoveries. I will tell you in a moment what they are. And when I did this, an old world broke into pieces and a new world arose from it. In other words, my old concepts which I had were no longer working here, and I could see it in this new practice, with this new insights. When I patiently continued to practice, many new insights started to come and flow to me. And isn't that the goal of spiritual life, that you enter into the current of eternity? What is that, the current of eternity? Have you heard about the expression flow, to be in the flow, from Michael with a long name? Very known. You can ask Tushta Krishna and Mangala. They know about this, no? The flow? Being, oh, Michael, dieser mit dem schwierigen Namen, mit CH. Yeah. It is a concept which I did find in Vrindavan, where you enter into the flow of Krishna's arrangement. But I found it also in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing. He said, the divine flow, once you enter into it, is unobstructed. There is no obstacle. You can see in your life that true spiritual life is not necessarily institutional life. It is private, it is personal, but it is like a river in which you enter. This river comes from above, from the parampara, the lineage of enlightened teachers, and it goes, it comes into this world. And when you can enter this river, or to put it a little bit more poetically, if you can throw yourself into the current of eternity, do you understand enough English? Do you know what is a current? Ein Strom, nicht? Ein schnell dahin fließender Strom in Deutsch. If you enter into the flow of eternity, the river of Krishna consciousness, that divine river which has its origin in the spiritual world and comes down to us through parampara, will actually carry you into the spiritual world. Are you in the flow of Krishna consciousness already? After all these years, do you feel the ecstatic flow of Krishna consciousness? That is a very important question. These questions, as I said, are for the slightly more advanced practitioners of Krishna consciousness, but anyone, even someone who's new, can immediately enter these divine concepts. It's important that they are understood and applied. So we will have a very amazing text today. I mean, I read this perhaps 35 years ago and then I lost it. I just read something that I have never forgotten for 35 years. I've always thought, where was this? Where was it? Did I read it properly? Did I hear it properly? And comes in the context. You need to now pay a little bit more attention than you do at the moment. There is this devotee, Indradyumna. He was the king of the world, and he had retired to the mountains where he met a saint and had a very, very unfortunate interaction. I mean, a very unfortunate event, because at the end he was cursed, this king, to become an elephant by this same saint. I never understand how saints, how they curse people to do this. I think, but there are very fiery, energetic saints who do this. Watch out for Durvasa. He's one of those. They hurl curses, and usually they are for the benefit of others. But it's the heavy treatment they do. When you receive a curse from a true saint, it's always in the end for your supreme benefit, but it's painful. So Indradyumna Maharaj was an elephant and when he came into a dangerous position where his life was at stake, that was when he was attacked by a crocodile, by that shock of the sudden attack, he remembered a prayer which he had said in his previous life as Indradyumna Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada says we should learn some prayers so good that even when we are reborn, and even if we are reborn in an animal form, we have that prayer and we pray it. I have seen a few animals in Vrindavan who do this. They come for the Artik, every Artik. They stand before the Artik. Sometimes when they're dogs, they howl the melody. You say almost, so this is how powerful the art of prayer can be. And this is the background of this verse which we hear, a very, very dramatic background. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now all of us. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You didn't get the tune because you may have not listened. So please listen again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 3, text number 17. We will immediately read the entire line. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya.
Svangsena sarvatanu brin manasi pratita.
Svangsena sarvatanu brin manasi pratita.
Pradyaktrishe Bhagavate Brihate Namaste.
Pradyaktrishe Bhagavate Brihate Namaste.
Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya.
Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya.
Svangsena sarvatanu brinmanosi pratita.
Svangsena sarvatanu brinmanosi pratita.
Pratyaktrishe Bhagavate Brihate Namaste.
Pratyaktrishe Bhagavate.
Yes, please, someone else.
Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya.
Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya.
Svamsena sarvatanu brinmanasi pratita.
Svamsena sarvatanu brinmanasi pratita.
Pratyaktrishe Bhagavate Brihate Namaste.
Pratyaktrishe
Yes, please, one Vaishnavi. Thank you very much. Now the translation. Again, the scene is this devotee, Indra Dumna Maharaj, who is awakening in the body of an elephant to the fact that he needs the shelter now of Krishna, is turning to Krishna. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly means non-stop, try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are there in my heart also. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the first part of Srila Prabhupada's purport, which I will not read to you, but summarize for you, Srila Prabhupada establishes that it is Krishna who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says in his purport, even Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, that's Shiva, come from Krishna. Mataha parataram nanyat kinshit asti dananjaya. There is no personality superior to Krishna. And then in the second half of the purport, he says, now this may be a little difficult to swallow, but please listen and don't let your impulsive reaction keep you from understanding the rest of the purport. In this material world, everyone is a pashu, an animal, because of the bodily conception of life. Now this is a strong statement, and Prabhupada now pulls or draws a proof to our attention. That is from the 10th canto. Yasyatma buddhi guna petri dhatuke. This verse says, a human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, is therefore considered to be like a cow or an ass. Someone who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen is therefore considered to be like, you know, the two which I said. Someone who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable is considered like that. Someone who goes, my God, now it gets really private. Someone who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there is to be considered like a cow or an ass. So practically everyone, therefore, is a pashu, an animal. And everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. I think up till now we may disagree with Prabhupada, but now he says everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. That means everyone will have to die. Not only the king of the elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Do you suffer? Can you identify? I mean, I have a bad toothache at the moment. It was worse yesterday. Now it's all right. But only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. What? Here is where I went like, wow. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaya shujuna tishtati. He's within our hearts and is not at all inattentive to us. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. No, that's wrong. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly, non-stop, tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. When I read this the first time, I actually was very moved. And I remembered when I was a child, how I was already thinking of God very much. I was supposed to be a very beautiful young boy, and I was always asked when people got married to go before the newly wedded pair and throw flowers because I was so beautiful. I was so handsome. I had a jacket. You don't believe how good this jacket looked. And I would listen to the priest say, and I said, it can't be like that. But I had a belief in Krishna, and at a very early age, I could meet the Bhagavad Gita, and when I read it, I understood, yes, this feels correct. And then Krishna made an arrangement that I met devotees, and I was a very difficult bhakta. I was extremely wild and extremely critical and extremely didn't fit in any box. I didn't want to wear a dhoti. I thought I look like a clown in a dhoti, and so on. But I could see how Krishna worked on me. No. So when I then later read that was Krishna sending people into my life, sending events into my life, it all came from him. I became very moved. Again, should I read to you the sentence which moved me again?
Yes.
He, this is Krishna, is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. He's never lazy. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, free, and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. beautiful purport. I encourage you to make a note in your mobile phone, 8:17, and read this verse when you have a little bit more time and perhaps are more well rested and so on. So let us now go into this verse. First, I will offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satanine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Go Bhaktame. Perhaps a little louder. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When a person understands that there was or that there is someone who constantly wishes him well, he becomes very grateful and thankful to that person. And he wants to respond. Perhaps when you were a teenager, you were revolting against your parents who were too rigid for you and did not leave you enough space to develop. And perhaps you were, like many teenagers, being a little bit difficult as a person and had some ill feelings towards them. But then when you later understood, perhaps when your parents were already 80 years, actually they only tried to assist me. Their ways may not be so palatable for me and so on, but they really only wanted to help me. Then you may change your attitude towards your parents. Has any one of you been in this situation? Yes, I had this situation. I was so, in the last part of my parents' life, I tried to make good what I had spoiled in my difficult puberty, teenage phase. Or if there is someone, perhaps your own spiritual master, against whom you have some feelings of distance, and you understand, well, he really only tried to help. At that time when this realization is coming to you, you will think, maybe I should look at our relationship with fresh eyes. No? So in the same way as, or a friend, or maybe in a marriage, or, when this rebooting your vision or resetting your vision happens to you, in the same way, we can reboot or restart or reset our vision towards Krishna. And when we read texts like this one here, where we hear that Krishna is liberated, he is capable to help us, and he's not just capable, but he is merciful. He wants to help us, and then the next thing is he is attentive. That means he understands my situation. He is not like someone who is capable and willing to help, but he has no idea what I'm going through. Krishna is attentive to our situation. The word is alayaya. You are never inattentive. then we have to rethink our relationship with Krishna. Here, Prabhupada said, he is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. Prabhupada elaborates on this word, alaya. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only at the time when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. And then that sentence which really got into my heart, he's never lazy in regard to our deliverance. So these are some thoughts which, when we want to make our contact with Krishna, are very important. If we have this Western understanding of God is so far away, he is in heavens, he is judging everyone according to how pious they are or how impious they are. When we have this distant, removed Western concept of God, it may be really difficult to approach the Lord with genuine devotional feelings. It generally happens only when we are in so much in misery that we know, no one can help me now. Let me try this last thing with that old man in heavens. But in Krishna consciousness, we have a much more shukshma, fine understanding of the Lord. We understand he's there in our hearts. And sometimes we can feel the whisper of the Paramatma. A question, perhaps, are you living the life that you really are meant to live? No, we hear this like a whisper. Whisper, so wie ein Geflüster in Deutsch. No? So, and he wants to help. But we are unfortunately refusing to accept instructions. We want it our way. But Krishna has not become angry. He tries again and again. So upon, you know, when you do the most important and perhaps most difficult spiritual practice in Krishna consciousness, if you have this understanding that the Lord is in the heart and he listens to me, he's attentive to me, your chanting will be very different. And you will be able to chant with some devotional feelings. You will be able to get out of your complicated thoughts and enter more the world of devotional feelings. And then everything is so wonderful. It goes so wonderful. And there's an immediate reciprocation. Almost as if the Super Soul says, now this person is calling my name. Now he's turning to me. No? So in the beginning, we can only love someone who loves us, isn't it? At least on a long run. We can maybe fall in love with someone who does not like us, and we can even marry that person. But on the long run, it is impossible to love someone who doesn't feel affection for us. So in bhakti also, you need to know that Krishna is there and he's interested in you. He's attentive to you. Even now, where you are perhaps not so attentive to him, always. That's important. My dear devotees, I'm giving holy name retreats all over the world. And when there are kirtan melas and I'm invited, which is most of the time the case, then I'm always giving a space to talk to everyone about. Somehow or other it has developed like this. I don't know why, but that is my situation at the moment. And I personally want to tell you very honestly, I know of no more efficient sadhana or practice when you chant than to know that Krishna is right next to us and listening to us. Giriraj Maharaj, a god brother, remembers that once he asked Prabhupada, how do you stay focused when you chant? And Prabhupada said, it's very simple. Just like we are talking now, you are I'm saying something to you, and you are attentive to what I'm saying, and vice versa. You are saying something to me, and I'm attentive to what you say. This is how you chant. You chant, and you know Krishna is listening to you. No? Can you understand? It's a communication, a divine communication. Or this personality is also there and listening. We will hear more about the secret tomorrow. This evening, something is coming this evening. That's how you start. You sit down, you ideally have a picture of Krishna which helps you to remember him, or you sit before the deities at home, and then you enter into the flow of the mantra, which comes from the upper planets, not upper planets, the Goloka Vrindavan, through the Sampradaya, and you throw yourself into this current of eternity, and it takes you somewhere. Now, as you do this, there are six qualities that cause one to attain great results in japa. I had been aware of these six qualities many years ago and gave one big retreat in Washington, D.C. about this verse, but the verse had slipped my attention, but then I heard it again when Hari Parshad quoted this verse in his very, very wonderful series on the Upadeshamrita. So these are six things which additionally help you after you understand I'm now chanting Krishna's name and he's listening to my chanting. Six qualities really show one thing only. It is adara. Adara is a word which Rupa Goswami uses in order to say how the chanting of Krishna's holy name will bring you perfection. It means you will lose the avidya that covers you, your material life, and you will actually experience the sweetness of Krishna's name, his form, and everything about him, his qualities, his pastimes. He says, if you want this, you need to do two things. One thing we all know, it's anudina, to chant regularly, without, not today I'm chanting and tomorrow not. And the second is this mysterious word, adara. What does this mean? It means affectionate respect. When I chanted yesterday my rounds, I had so much seva, I had six rounds left in the evening. It was already 9 o'clock, and I felt as if someone shot me in the back. I was so exhausted, and all the blood of life had left me. So I sat down, okay, tomorrow I'm going to chant to speak about adara. What's about me now? I'm honest, I just want to get these rounds done to go into bed. Yes, but tomorrow you are talking about it. You can't talk about something you don't do yourself. Okay, Sachinanda Swami, leave me alone. Can't you leave? No, I don't leave you alone. I'm with you in the same body, you know. So, okay, I'm listening to you. So what do I do to express my adara? And then I told my foolish self the six practices which are there in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. They come from a scripture called Mantranava. Already you hear the word mantra. It's about mantras, the scripture. And it says six things cause one to attain great results in japa. Would you like to know them?
Yes.
I thought, at the moment I'm a little poor, I would expect every one of you to give me at least 10,000 euros for this. Would you still be with me? I don't.
Yes.
I will only. It was you who shouted the loudest, is it? You have to meet me afterwards for a serious talk. I'm joking. This, of course, absolutely free. It is given by the Lord. Can anyone charge rainwater or air? These are gifts of the Lord. You can't charge for air, good air, or, you know, so. Of course, now I'm just trying to make it a little dynamic so that you will listen. So the first quality of someone who wants to chant with in the proper mood. Why proper mood? Because he understands Krishna listens. Is mana samharanam, the concentration of the mind. When I care for a communication, then I avoid inattentive listening behavior. Have you ever been in a conversation where all of a sudden there is a mobile telephone going in the other person? He says, a moment, and he takes the mobile telephone and he talks. Yes, I'm so glad you phoned me. The best writing instrument I know of is from Parker. You listen to the communication and you think, well, couldn't that wait? We are now meeting. And then the next thought is, I get it. For him, our conversation is not so important. It's more important for him to talk to his friend about the best writing instrument, which is a small thing. It can be talked at any time, you know. I get it. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was. And then he says, I'm all ears for you now. And then you say, Prabhu, I do have an appointment now. I just didn't want to just go and be impolite. Perhaps, you know, stay in touch, perhaps, if you like. And he has a present for you, a nice tea bag. And goodbye. yes, because the con. You may say, well, your example is not good. Maybe it was important to save a relationship to talk about Parker. And how did you know that it was not one of those conversations? Good, my example may not be good, but I'm talking of something where it's really not important to interrupt the conversation. And if someone interrupts the conversation, it means he's not interested. Yeah, I think you have been in such conversations where you know the other person just wants to end it and you also just want to end it. It's really not, it's just nothing of importance. Nothing where the heart is there. So yeah, Manas, when you talk to Krishna, concentrate your mind. Manas samaranam, bring it back, pull it in, like this. Very important. You may say, but sometimes I have thoughts in my mind which I can't get rid of so easily because they are somehow disturbing me and they are coming back again and again. Do you have sometimes such thoughts? They seem to obsess you like a ghost whom you don't want. But there is something you can do. The first thing is, and I talked about this with one of you, you have to acknowledge the thought. Why is it so disturbing, the thought? Well, it's this, you know, this person said something to me which really hurt me. And I don't know if I will survive after this in our old relationship. I think I will just run away from this relationship like I always do when things get complicated. Okay, this is, but you are afraid of this, of course. Okay, this is the situation. Then there's the first step, acknowledge the situation. Don't suppress it like the London people do. They never talk about what is inside of them. They don't also are aware any longer when something is brewing inside. You need to face what it is. Okay, you need to know this is the problem. And then, next step, make a little distance and say, is this now helping anyone that I'm worried? No? Okay, then what would be a better way to deal with this than just being wasting my time here with in trying to chant japa but having all the time this material thought? Well, I could go after the japa and I could do something to have perhaps an open talk about it. If it's not possible, I can make an indirect talk, you know, and so on. So, but let me do this afterwards. And in the meantime, let me pray to Krishna that he saves both of us from this complication. No? And then, okay, you have acknowledged it. It's so to say the problem on a separate piece of paper. You can put it here. Zip. On the Bhagavatam, it's not the right place. So and then you go back into chanting and fill the space of your mind with the light of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The problem is here. You can go to it later, no? And deal with it responsibly. Mana Samharanam, concentration of the mind. Sanatana Goswami is so... let us serious about this point, that he says somehow or other you must pacify the mind. And then he offers a yogic technique, a pranayama. It's a certain breathing technique. The breath goes directly to the... It is our mind and our breathing is connected. Do you know about this already? When you are anxious, your breath is very shallow. If you are relaxed, it goes very well. And you all know when you are anxious, if you go to the window and you say, let me make a few deep breaths, that will calm me. So breathing has a connection to our mind. Because most of you are not doing pranayama, I will not teach you this because you will not apply it in your life because you have not done it. But those who do pranayama, the ratio is 6 in, 12 hold the breath, and 3 breathe it out. So let me show you. And again, the same thing. 6, 12, 3. So this is the verse for you. Recha soda shamatra bi puru dvatrim shata bhavet chatushashtaya bhavet kumbha. Kumbha means holding the breath. Evam syat prana samyama. This is japasya purata ado parat ante chaiti. Pranayama kala iti, no? Pranayama. This is what one can do. Those who are doing pranayamas, I think they have taken note of this. It's also on the tape. You can do it. The others, it's not compulsory. It's only an option for those. It's a possibility, but it doesn't need to be done. But what needs to be done is mantra samharanam, which means what? Withdrawing the mind, withdrawing, samharanam, withdrawing, bringing it back, withdrawing. The next is shocham, cleanliness. Hari Bhakti Vilas says, a person who has not taken a bath is unfit for japa and Vedic sacrifices. My dear devotees, this is also optional because Mahaprabhu is addressing not only the brahminically inclined. He says, there are no rules for chanting the holy names. But if you feel my japa is not taking off, it could be that the sweat of the night and the toxins of the night are still building that film over your unwashed skin, Hare Krishna. It's not optional. It's optional. What is, however, important here is cleanliness, and that's mostly an inner thing. You should have a pure mind, a disturbance-free mind. When we give in initiations, or when initiations are giving, this mantra is given. Om apavitra pavitro vayu, and everyone repeats. I know you know the mantra. It means clean or unclean, in whatever situation, someone who remembers Vishnu is purified in all circumstances. So this refers to inner cleanliness. Remembering is an inner activity, and that is important. Otherwise, when you have the mind and you think of, don't give the dangerous examples, you know, the things which don't have maybe a violent scene from something, or you know yourself, and let this be in play in your mind. It's very difficult. The next principle is monam, silence. This, by the way, is very important. Hari Bhakti Vilas says, pralapam va japet yava tavang nishfalam uchyaste. As long as one is speaking during japa, till that time one's japa is considered fruitless. Yes, there are important things where you might have to interrupt around. There is an urgent phone call which, you know, you can't say, wait, phone me later. There may be also situations where you have to interrupt. But in general, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. What do you think about his dress? You know, what will... And then the answer comes. Cool. And then it continues. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. I'm wondering, did you see his Instagram post? The other goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. I mean, he's totally off track with this incident. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Rama. I thought so, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This japa, I think you will agree with this shastra, is fruitless. So there is a story of Narottam Das Thakur was chanting with Lokanath Goswami, his spiritual master in Vrindavan, and the farmer came to Lokanath Goswami and said, Baba, Pani. Pani means water. Lokanath goes, Krishna, Krishna, Hari Rami, and he does not react. So after three attempts, the farmer turns to Narottam. Chota Baba, small Baba, you know. Pani, Pani. So Narottam Das Thakur knows what Lokanath Goswami knows. The farmer knows very well where the well is. He can very easily get the water himself. But he just wants affection or attention, or like a little child. No? He knows that. But he interrupts and gets up and in the midst of the round and gives him the water. Then he sits down, and the japa continues. When Lokanath Goswami ends his japa, he says, now you must leave Vrindavan immediately. Narottam does not understand what he just heard. Lokanath Goswami said, go, 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 leave, go out of Vrindavan. And Lokanath says, cease. Narottam cannot handle this. And he answers the question that was not asked by Lokanath. The question is, why? So he answers this question, although it was not asked. He said, you're communicating with the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, and then you're interrupting it for this man who just wants the attention. He can get it later. He knows where to get the water. And he needs to learn perhaps that holy name is very important, you know. So at the end, for those of you who have understood it on one level and not on the level where it was meant, the story, don't worry, Narottam stayed in Vrindavan. He was welcome to stay in Vrindavan. But that's not the point here. The point is interrupting our japa. No? That is monam, silence, at least for the round, if it's possible. Of course, there are exceptions. Childbirth, you know, or... joking, to put some lightness in the atmosphere. The fourth one is meditate about the meaning of the mantra. My dear devotees, Patanjali says, I know some of you are yoga interested people, tat japas tat atha bhavanam. When you repeat the japa, then you need to contemplate the meaning. That should be done simultaneously. The word he uses is bhavanam. Bhavanam means dwelling upon. It's like during the japa, you should stay with that inner feeling, that bhava or mood of Krishna, Krishna, please accept me in your service, your service. Oh Radha, please accept me. You should remain in that mood, and there are many other meanings, and according to your level on which you practice your japa, you will take appropriate meanings. They are very, very advanced meanings, but those of you who are advanced will find them out on their own. The main thing is you dwell on the meaning. You be there. Just like me, you know, I'm sitting now, I mean, not like me, but in this example, I'm sitting on this seat, and while I do this, I'm sitting on the seat, I'm talking to you or presenting these points to you. I do it simultaneously. So dwelling on the meaning, oh Krishna save me, will not distract you from the listen, from the mantra. It will be there, both will be there. You anyways dwell on something. You dwell on your feeling which you have. You dwell with your, many of us have these thoughts, you know, and so on. You anyways, there's something going on, or you just are nobody's land. You are spaced away, so to say. Yeah. So the last, let me now look at the wristwatch. It is, I will end now. I will only mention them because it gets too long, and I think they only require a quick mention. What are the four things we have learned so far? Mantrata Chintanam means withdrawing the mind. You're correct. Then Shocham, which refers to external cleanliness, but also internal, yes, inner. Monam, and now, yeah, this is right. The Sanskrit here is Mantrata Chintanam. Chintanam means thinking. Mantra is the mantra, and arta the meaning. No? Thinking of the meaning, or dwelling on the meaning, doing bhavana on the meaning. Have you sometimes been in this mode? You are a little bit struggling with your japa, and then all of a sudden something comes into you. You perhaps see the deities, and you start to relate to the deities, and it's, you can almost hear it. The first chanting where you are inattentive is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And the other would be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. It's a different sound. You can always hear it. Therefore, those who lead kirtan can sometimes say, by your sound, I know you are not yet chanting. I can hear that from your sound. Is there perhaps something you can do to be present in the kirtan? No? You can easily make this out very, very easily. So the fifth principle is avyagradvam, which means no haste. don't be in a big stress to finish your rounds. Hari Bhakti Vilas says, Shanai Shanai Suvishpashtam Nadrutam Navilambitam Nanyunam Naditam Vapi Japam Kuyat Dine Dine. Daily one should chant one's japa in a slow, clearly pronounced manner that is neither too fast nor too slow. So again, daily one should chant one's japa in a slow, clearly pronounced manner that is neither too fast nor too slow. One should neither chant too less of a quantity interesting, now he says, nor too much. When you chant a number of rounds for which you are not qualified, perhaps 120 rounds a day, you will not be able to do this daily. I have seen devotees who go for 64 rounds and doing a month, and then they come out of it, and then they almost chant no rounds, you know, because it was too much, and the mind felt it is stressful to chant. Therefore, Prabhupada has seen us struggling with this, and he has given a small, very relatively small number. But even those who don't chant any longer 16 rounds, which is perhaps, let me make an educated guess, I would say 30% of my audience today, you can go back to four slow, conscious rounds which you chant with affectionate respect, and then you will see you will like the chanting, it will not be a stress for you, and you will increase it. And come back to the number which is the number that was given by our acharya, our teacher. No? It should be sustainable, your chanting, and natural, and then you can chant in this no haste version. What do you think if Krishna is in hearing you in a haste? And you finish. Do you really think that satisfies me? What went wrong in your thinking? You know. Of course, it's not black and white. There are situations where the day is very full and you absolutely want to keep your vow of chanting 16 rounds, which is, that's how, that's the understanding when we give vows. We keep them, of course, because if we don't keep them, something breaks in us. It's to our disadvantage if we bring vows, if we break these type of vows. These are important vows in relationship with the most important Krishna. So if there is a devotee who is already initiated, he chants, he has given the vow, and he has so much to do, then of course there will be a little haste. And Krishna will say, I can totally understand you. Good that you want to keep your vow. So it's not black and white. The science is very shukshma, fine. You can't always bring boxes and PowerPoints to understand Krishna consciousness. It's one thing only. It's spiritual, Babus. So what you need to understand is it should be done with avyagradvang, non-haste. And the last point is anirvida. I like this very much. Anirvida means dejection, hopelessness. Anirvida is the opposite, it means non-dejection. The Supreme Lord is pleased by everyone who tries to satisfy him. You perhaps need to reconsider your Abrahamic upbringing, you know, that God punishes those who are bad, you know. God encourages those who try their best. No, he is pleased with whatever is done. No reason to be dejected. Shokama shadibir bhavai akrantam yasyamanasam katam tatramukundasya spurti sambhavana bhavet. It's quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, Rupa Goswami quotes this, how can there be even a slight possibility of a spontaneous remembrance of Lord Mukunda? For a person whose mind is overtaken by negative feelings like lamentation, anger. Padma Purana says within the heart of someone who's overwhelmed with lamentation or anger, there is no possibility that Krishna will be manifest. No, when you're angry or when you are nirvedya, when you're dejected, oh no, you're only with yourself, but not with God. The Lord can change you. No, so anivita. In this way, these are all attempts to express that one thing, that one new thing, which we have heard from Rupa Goswami. He said japa should be done anudinam. And what was the second thing? Adarat. Yes, with affectionate respect. Sometimes it is said with due respect. Something, a feeling, you know. And this can be expressed, and you can come to it when you do these practices. I was thinking today, I did not feel like dancing in the morning, but I felt we need to do something to, it's the last full day of our holy name, of our Sangha Mela, and we need to do something to change, to upgrade the atmosphere a little bit more even than it's already fantastic, but to make it super fantastic, we need something more. And then I thought, well let us dance. But I don't want to dance. I'm tired, I'm old, I'm hungry. This is Sachin. I have many names for myself, you know. Most of the time I call myself the small mind, you know. Small mind. Now you dance and you will see something will happen. So I danced and then I saw Jana Jamadi dancing. Wow! I thought, if Jana Jamadi dances, he is a martial artist and a lecturer, international lecturer. Jana Jamadi is very, I respect him so much. If he dances, let me dance also a little. Then I saw someone else whom I consider to be supremely stiff in his psychology, dancing and smiling. And I say, even he, okay, you also have to dance now, so on. And in this way, I felt good. Let me do. And after the end, when we finished, I thought, oh, good that you danced. You know, didn't just stand on the wall, or I never stand on the wall, but I stand. Yes. So doing something, trying something, brings an effect. That is the point here. Therefore, I want to inspire you. There are some of you who have made notes, some of you have not made notes. If you like, you can go to those who made notes, write them down, these practices. Adarad, affectionate respect. Then hyphen, God is listening, Krishna is listening, and then six practices to which I will express this. Manasam haranam socham monam mantrata chintanam avyagratvang anirveda. Yeah, I think by now you know what this means. Good. Hare Krishna. I've reached the end. Thank you for listening. I was a little bit longer than I intended to be, but otherwise I would have to drop the last two things, and then I don't have an opportunity to address you on this later, so I thought then let me be complete. Hare Krishna, does anyone have a quick question? Please ask. Gaura Hari has a quick question.
Thank you, Gaurav. You mentioned, I don't know if it, I think it was on the verse, that Krishna will look at us or pay attention even before we pray to him. And I was remembering Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that the Lord is fulfilling the prayers of one who is practicing Sharanagati. How do you reconcile the two statements?
He had two statements that are making different, have different content. One says the Lord is attentive to us even before we pray, and then there's the statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, only when a person practices Sharanagati or surrender does the Lord listen to our prayers. No? These are two opposite statements. You must know that with your very birth or with your very existence, you are loved by God. You are, why? You are his part and parcel. In the Gita, the word Pita and Mata is used for Krishna. No, Pita is Krishna as the seed-giving father, and what else? And the mother is the is material nature. No? So you are belonging to Krishna. He's yours. He's always there. And he always wants well for you. Even the so-called dramatic events that happen in the world, on the long they happen because the Lord has given freedom to the human beings to in this world to act in these ways. But the Lord is it pinches him. It pinches his heart to see how much suffering the souls inflict each other. And it gets especially intense when they inflict suffering in the name of religion. And it gets especially intense, the suffering of the Lord, when the members of the same line are quarreling, you know, amongst themselves. It is not pleasing to the Lord, because he's like a father. He doesn't like his sons to quarrel. Now, there is a tension by the Lord, but of course he does not he loves you in the sense, but he does not intrude into your life. That's very clear in the work Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the Lord says, I watched you, but you showed no inclination towards me, not even to chant my holy name. You know, you remember this passage. But I watched you, and I hoped that you would turn to me, maybe today, or then the day after today, you know. So the attention and desire is there. When I was in Vrindavan Gaurahari, I met a saintly devotee. There are many saintly devotees in our movement. And I asked the saintly devotee a question. It is a little private. And he said, you must know Krishna's always with you. He's always there. But you will need to turn to him. So Krishna's attention is always on us, but he will not force his love on us. He will wait until we turn to him, and that's usually the last thing we do when we have problems. We may do it because we are trained like this. We may have an automatic pilot in there, but the voice of our soul is not loud. It is covered by many things. So when we turn, the Lord is there. Quickly. I think you know, I very much believe in prayer. Because I see it works. It started when devotees were asking me to pray for them when they were in a difficult situation, and I didn't really know how to do that, you know. I was, should I ask, for instance, for safe delivery? Safe delivery means childbirth. Is that a material thing? Is that disturbing to the Lord? I was not clear about these things. And when I became clear, I thought, well, they all asked me to pray, and I'm a monk. I'm sometimes give me a donation. I better reciprocate, you know, and not just, I'm not a parasite, you know. Not a donation for saying a prayer, not that. That is not, never done. That is wrong. I mean, I'm living on donations. Maybe you don't know. I don't work. I don't have a job at the gas station privately. I just serve, and I'm living on donations. I think you knew, isn't it? So when you receive donations, you feel, I have to really do something now for the devotees. I can't just take. I have to give. So I started to pray, and I over years, and I saw miracles. It always helps when the person you pray, I mean, first of all, you can't do it if he doesn't want it. You usually have to ask for permission, but sometimes the person is not able to even give permission. So then you have to know, does he want it in his heart or not? You have to know. And then in exceptions, you can even pray without asking. When there's an emergency in the ego or somewhere else in the body or in the mind or wherever. So, but when it is there and it is done with a genuine mood, then it works miracles. I'm actually believing that Krishna listens to prayers. It's different from Jim Morrison from The Door, who opens the song, "You can't petition the Lord with prayer." I would say, yes, you can. You only don't know how to do it. Hare Krishna. Good. Let me look towards the Mataji's. Here is Narayani. And we have a microphone for you, Narayani. And Shumit, we can talk later on the way. You always have a question. Mostly you want to have a good communication. So, yes.
I have always a problem that my mind is always so critical.
My also.
Especially I often don't think so good about devotees sometimes. And I don't want this, but it always comes. Somehow,
yeah.
That I have so singles. It's disturbing, but it's so difficult to not to think bad or critical.
Of course, Narayani, and thank you for being so sincere and so honest that you're not. I think we all, some of us know about what Narayani is speaking. It has to do with. Also with personalities. Some of us are not so, man sagt in Deutsch, so stoisch, also dass ihnen alles egal ist. Ne? I know what you're talking about very, very much. Because I have high expectations in myself. I constantly get on my case when I'm sometimes also not getting on my case, but I'm trying. So, and then someone with high expectation, that's known. He has expectations in others also. That's shouldn't they act more fair? Or shouldn't there be some basic principles should be understood? And it comes very easily, this. And it has to do with the personality. I can only say like this, when it happens, I do know I'm the one who suffers the most, because the other person doesn't even know that I think these thoughts. It's I'm drinking now poison, and I'm getting disturbed. You immediately know it, you know. So what I do is, when I see it, I'm praying, let there be good fortune for everyone in the universe. May those who are quarreling with each other be pacified and wish only the best for each other. So I connect with this prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. You can find it. I will ask someone with a mobile telephone. It starts, Svasyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodhya. Where can we find that? Fifth canto, please make the note, Narayani. It will soon come. Yeah, no, the number?
589.
You can find this when you get critical. It's Prahlad Maharaj who prays this in the midst of, he's surrounded by demons, not by devotees who have a different opinion. By demons who drink the blood of children, you know. Yes. When Ravana was told, is everyone paying taxes? His minister said, yes, except the sadhus. Well, then drain their blood. You know, that's how they can pay. And blood, and I shall drink it. Then, okay, they've paid the... These are demons! So he prays, let there be good fortune, let those who have ill feelings, you know, be pacified and wish well for each other. So, this is a prayer in the fifth canto. I encourage you to read it. It's really, you will, wow, oh, wow. When you will really go, my God, this is Krishna consciousness. And then if there is a problem, of course, we then deal with the problem in a forum where the problem can be solved. When we live in communities, we get together and talk. We perceive it's a problem, and we talk about it like brothers and sisters do until we find a mutual ground. It does sometimes take a few sittings, you know, before this happens. Mostly this happens when you have conflict, when the other feels understood. But he really has to think, oh he got me. Then the problem can be solved. I had such problems with, oh, you can't believe what, you have small problems, but the more exposed you are in Krishna consciousness, you know, up out there and preaching on social media. Wow, you get attacked like anything by people who just don't like this whole thing. And I had one person who was just 20 years on my case, you know. Then I said, well, this is not the solution for both of us. So we sat down and I said, can you please make me understand what irritates you so much and that you are constantly... And he said it. And my first step was, I didn't say that, I didn't mean it, you misunderstood me. But that doesn't help. You have to go, and you have to try to go into his mind. That is, by the way, the most interesting experiment which is there in human beings, you know, to try to understand how another person thinks. Good luck. It is, you know, it's a very anspruchsvolle Übung, you know, but as much as possible. Ah, the person thinks it's not fair. Ah, the person's moral integrity is attacked. He thinks this is not morality. Ah, and now he thinks that puts the whole a question mark to Krishna consciousness. Oh my God, the other person really has a problem. I have to listen to this. or the other person, the other person doesn't know. I'm just wanting to serve Krishna. You know, it's you know, so you have to understand each other. And once you do this, you will see the atmosphere goes, wah. It's mystical. I cannot explain it. Understanding does not mean agreeing. It just means, this is how he thinks. You are a mother. You have two children. Wonderful children, by the way. One is Leela, the other is another name. I forgot. So, did you know when you were when they were small that if you tell them something, you know, the little boy is crying, and you say, "Don't cry, you are not a Mataji." You know, so it doesn't work. You know, I can cry, you can't cry. Doesn't work. You, what you need is you need to take him on the arm, and that's all right. There will be a sweet very soon, and you know, I don't know what you do in this. What is pedagogically correct? I don't know, so. And once he feels understood, mother loves me, mother loves me, mother understands that when I saw this insect, I was frightened and I cried before because this spider walked over my desk and I thought he would kill me. Mother understands me, you know, and then you can go on. Learn this little secret. It's called empathy, and your community will blossom. Your life will blossom. Understanding doesn't mean agreeing. Should I say it a third time, just to be sure? If I understand someone, see his feelings, and so on, I may still not agree because I feel, there are these other things which you have not looked at, but I can then talk about him and he will listen to me because he will feel understood. Hare Krishna. This is necessary to talk in the community. No, you understand, you may not live in the community, so you don't know these problems. Blessed be your life if you don't have these problems. In the community, this always happens, and you have to address it, and you have to solve it. There is, and you need to talk about it, and so on and so forth. But do it from the level of Krishna consciousness, not your material understandings. No? And first establish a ground to talk, and that happens only if the other person feels understood. Not just, I get you, He needs to, you need to, if I look like now through your eyes, I can see. My dear devotees, it's late. I will have to end here. Shumit, we will walk together to the house and talk about the Shumit question. Hare Krishna.